Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the HITECH Annual Report Workgroup. I have a full agenda today, kind of recapping our last meeting and preparing for our next meeting and upcoming activities in December and January. So with that, we will go ahead and call the meeting to order, starting with roll call. Carolyn Peterson?
I'm here.
Erin Meary?
Here.
Christina Caraballo?
I'm here.
Fred Oliver?
Here.
Chesley Richards? All right. Hopefully Chesley can join us later. With that, I will turn it over to our co-chairs, Erin and Carolyn.
Great. Go ahead, Carolyn. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to wish everyone a good afternoon and kind of overview what we're going to be doing in this meeting. We will take a look at our schedule and then go right into a deeper dive in the privacy and security priority target area, kind of review what we covered in our last meeting on November 9, and then have some discussion about things we could put in the report and where we see that going. Talk a little bit about the work group update that we'll be presenting on December 13. It's coming up pretty quickly. There will be a comment period and then next steps and adjournment. I'll pass it on to Erin for his comment.
Absolutely. So welcome, everybody, and I echo Carolyn in saying, you know, thank you for coming to this. We do have a full agenda of things to talk about. We've had a past couple of excellent meetings with even professional outside speakers coming to educate us on the privacy and security domain. And again, that's kind of, you know, my happy place is privacy and security, right, in that strange way. So I have really enjoyed and thoroughly appreciated the speakers we've had, and I look forward to today's discussion because I think it has really shed some light on areas that the HITECH can really consider and look at and really think about as we move the ball forward. So I look forward to a good discussion today.
Sounds good. Why don't we start with the slide deck then? So this is just kind of a review of where we've been in terms of what the work group's been doing. We're up to the December 4 meeting, having met to discuss previously the privacy and security priority target area, the landscape analysis and the gap analysis, and then overall our general plans and scope. We have a meeting in January on the 10th where we will be talking about the annual report draft. And then through winter and perhaps into early spring, we'll be doing whatever other work is needed to complete the annual report based on the feedback that we bring and also the feedback from the full HITECH. And then sometime in the spring, we'll start talking about the 2019 annual report. I know that's seems like a lot to think about today as we wrestle with this one, but we'll get there moving stepwise. The next slide, please. And then this is where we're going in terms of getting feedback from the full HITECH committee. We will have a meeting with some discussion on December 13. On the 23rd of January, we'll have our in-person meeting, and we'll have some discussion there with the full annual report reviewed by the committee. In February, to what we know at this point, we will have further review and approval by HITECH. And then again, after that, the report will go to the HHS Secretary and to Congress from there. Next slide, please. So we'll start today by debriefing the presentations and readings related to the privacy and security priority target area. As you'll recall, at our previous meeting, we had three excellent speakers to give us some perspective on what other agencies see as critical issues and upcoming priorities related to privacy and security. And we had some materials that were given us from ONC prior to that meeting, and also a number of suggested readings that came out of the meeting. Could we have the next slide, please? So just going back over the expert panel that we had at our meeting in November, the National Committee on Vital and Health Statistics presented on health information privacy beyond HIPAA, environmental scan of major trends and challenges. That is part of their initiative looking at privacy beyond HIPAA. Some really good and thorough information there. The National Institute of Standards and Technology presented on their cybersecurity framework, which had a number of concepts that may be very helpful for us as we think about framing these emerging opportunities for HITECH to work on next year. And the HHS Office for Civil Rights also presented on cybersecurity and brought our attention to some resources, particularly the HIPAA security rule to the NIST cybersecurity framework crosswalk, you know, showing how these organizations kind of complement each other with what they're bringing forward. Cybersecurity guidance and the security risk assessment tool. More about all of these topics in the readings we received and also on the website. And I believe these resources are now posted on the healthit.gov site as well if anyone or anyone on the phone wants to review those. Next slide, please. So now we come to the discussion where we kind of get into more depth about what we want to cover in the annual report and what we want to consider as suggested or recommended activities for HITECH in the new year. And at this point, I will let Aaron run with the ball so you don't listen to me for a whole hour.
Sounds good, Carolyn. All right, next slide, please. All right, so from the privacy security priority target area, a couple of opportunities were identified that really resonated as we spoke to the expert panelists and really talked about it amongst ourselves. One of those was sort of opportunity for increased uniformity of information sharing policies across the states. Example being the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2018. So from a perspective of an activity we could consider for the HITECH, which we, you know, we want to talk about as a group today, is consider the federal role in setting guidelines for exchange of data across states. Another opportunity there is support for a widespread adoption of cybersecurity frameworks. So two potential activities we could talk about today. One of those being consider the impact of a nationwide adoption of cybersecurity frameworks, and then number two, or delineate cybersecurity accountability for data by role. And in fact, you could actually combine both of those into one, being sort of like what is an adoption, what framework could we adopt nationwide, and how do we hold accountable for that adoption of that framework and for each of those data classifications to that framework, right? So there's a way to look at this and start saying, what are the rules and what are the speed limits for the highways out there that connect us from an HIT perspective. Next slide. Another opportunity here also is consider what to regulate about IoT. You know, and this, you know, we saw in the NCVHS report that basically, you know, IoT today is kind of like the Wild Wild West. There's really not a strong governance or any policies around this or legal boundaries. I believe you've had a lot of academic thought around this space, but no one's really taken the bull by the horns. And from a healthcare perspective, I mean, I can speak to this now as a active provider, hospital CIO. I'm seeing that now with people bringing in their you know, Fitbits or Apple Watches saying, hey, doctor, tell me what this means. Do I have dysrhythmia because I can see my heartbeat is off? You know, how do we regulate that? How do we deal with that? Another opportunity here is address implications of the European Union's GDPR, you know, General Data Protection Regulation and Privacy Shield. You know, should the U.S. establish more privacy rules for health record keepers currently not covered by HIPAA as data is exchanged? Again, this is something that we also saw referenced in the NCVHS report. So there's a couple of activities around this that we could think about doing, whether it's go deep into GDPR for healthcare, whether it's consider similar. I mean, there's a lot of things there, so we just call that sort of TBD. Next slide. Another opportunity here is kind of granular levels of consent to share and disclose information. You know, Brett, this is something I know I've heard you speak about several times. You know, how do we deal with, and what is the current consent form collection and storage practices, and how do we deal with the fact they're very static and not assigned with data in motion? You know, so maybe an activity of ours could be to undertake a review of emerging consent approaches and the technologies that underpin them and make recommendations for the improvement of current consent approaches. I can tell you that my prior life, especially in pediatrics, this is a big deal. So you know, especially as you deal with age of majority and other things. How do you overcome consent problems? And is this something that we really need to think about as a high tech? Another opportunity we saw come out was support for and education of technology users regarding privacy and security protections, including for health and other information shared on social media. You know, the problem is that, you know, while social media platforms can enable collaboration, you know, they're also very vulnerable to privacy breaches and misuse of their health information. And I think there's been enough national news of those very popular social networks and how they've been monetizing data for us to start really looking at this from a healthcare perspective and say, hey, look, do we need to identify some educational approaches, technology mitigators, and potential regulatory solutions that offer improved privacy and security protections? You know, again, I don't want to miss the fact that ONC has done a phenomenal job of trying to educate the consumers on their rights. But I think there's maybe further steps here we could consider as a high tech to look at this in aggregate. Next slide. And then other opportunities here identified by the work group for further consideration, we could think about education about HIPAA and confidentiality of substance use disorder for patient records, and then continue to improve the patient matching issue when sharing data. You know, and so we can think about all those items I spoke about or others to think about for privacy and security, but that's really what we boil down to from a synthesis of items for high tech to look at for ongoing going forward. Before I move on, any thoughts, questions, concerns, confusion about what I've said thus far?
This is Brett. I think you summarized it well.
Carolyn, anything you want to add to what I've said?
No, I think that was really quite clear and succinct.
Okay. So let me ask this general question, and again, I don't want to go too far into this without us just sort of pausing and doing a litmus test. Do we feel that has anything come up in the past couple of weeks, whether it's, you know, in our own practices, in our own professional worlds, or we've heard from colleagues say, hey, this is a real bugaboo about privacy and security that we haven't already covered on this sheet? Because I'm, you know, as we talked about it, as we worked through it, as Carolyn and I talked about it, you know, we felt like we had covered the panacea, but there's always something out there that, you know, potentially we haven't thought about. Is there anything that come to you, Christina? I know you're good about this, thinking about other areas that could impact us. Have we missed anything?
I think this looks good. I have some thoughts on two that stood out to me more than others, but I don't know that we're at that point in discussion. I'm really leaning on you as our privacy and security expert in this area. But the consumer access and education and then the sharing across states were the two that kind of stood out to me the most.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move forward then, and we can come back and speak about specifics if we want to. Let's go to the next slide. All right, so we're gonna pause, and I guess, Caroline, I think we should probably pause here, probably go back to the specific ones we brought up and let Christina and others go into detail. What do you think?
I think that's great.
Okay, so let's go back. Christina, what are the two that spoke to you?
So definitely if you go back to slide 8, I thought that a big challenge that we have when we're looking at interoperability is that ability to come to agreements for sharing across state borders. And I think that's a huge thing that needs to be looked at. I don't know if that's a high-tech activity or not. I think it should be in our report as an area that we have identified as a high-tech, as a high priority. I'm sure that the recognized coordinating entity or the REC is going to be looking at that work too. So I'm with lean on ONC a little bit to say where that would live.
That's a good thought. Kellen, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think I do think that that's a valuable activity. We may benefit from some of their input at the December meeting in terms of how that's framed and what context we put around it. But I do think that's relevant, definitely.
Yeah, okay. It really is. It's a problem like just with your PDMP programs, There's, I mean, the examples are lengthy, where one state says it can live in the chart, another state says it can't, in the LMR at least, and it gets really complex when you're trying to share data between states.
Great point. Okay, I have this noted. So what's the other one, Christina?
I forget which slide it was, but I do think that when we look at educating consumers, it's really important, and that could be an activity under HITECH. I know the OCR has done a lot, sorry, Office of Civil Rights, but I think when we're thinking about patient access and it being a high priority for Congress, often I don't know that we've taken it far enough as an industry with really letting consumers know what their rights are. I think there's been a lot of work that's been done, but I think there can always be a little bit more. I think there's still confusion in the market. Like, a lot of group organizations still cite HIPAA when consumers try to call for access to their health information, just as one example of a just fundamental and universal challenge that still exists.
Yeah, it's almost like we're missing like a HIPAA consumer reports kind of thing, right? I don't know what the right nomenclature is, but some sort of like Better Business Bureau for HIPAA or something.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of educating providers so that they're not scared about sharing data that is shareable with consumers, and then educating to consumers. And it's really this whole culture shift we're undergoing, where the patient has the right to be part of the healthcare system instead of just, that's what I want to say, part of the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great point, Christina, and even more broadly in terms of the patients or providers right now. You've got the report that just came out last week on reduction of provider burden and trying to reduce note bloat and the things that physicians and others are putting into the note because they're afraid that they're going to get dinged on their billing or they're going to be audited. It's kind of a ripe time to reassess that and say, you don't have to worry about that with HIPAA, or you do. You don't have to put this in your note. There's just some other... It's a confluence of a lot of different things that may make it an opportune time to look at. And then I wonder, taking a step back even further and saying, okay, education about HIPAA is one thing, but I had mentioned briefly before at a previous meeting and really thought about it. It may be a good recommendation for ONC to look at our current education practices. Because there, you know, when I've looked at the website, it's there's some awesome stuff that I had no idea was out there. And I just wonder if we should do some kind of survey of healthcare providers or patients, if they recognize the resources that are out there. And if they don't, are there better methods of reaching people mm-hmm. than just placing it on the government website?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Brett. And I can tell you that I just came from a meeting here for the University of Texas Health Austin, where we were looking at just our demographic for Travis County in Austin. And it was surprising to me that of all the patients we saw in the past year, that half of them, literally half, were under the age of 50 and the other half were over the age of 50, and both wanted to be interacted with different modalities. So maybe it's not only that are you aware of all the resources, are you able to access the resources to your modality of choice, right? And so to the degree that we can get those resources out there, even in print for somebody who's very, you know, traditional and doesn't want to touch electronically, great. How do we do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Brett, I agree that that's an excellent point. I think ONC has done an extensive amount of work in the content and material. It's just a matter of actually getting people educated about what does and doesn't exist.
And let me ask this other question, and just because this is a bugaboo for me, having those resources also available in different languages. Like for me, I would love to give my Spanish population of patients those exact same resources in Spanish. You know, is that readily available? I don't know. You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, great point.
Yep. Agree.
Okay, so we have some consensus around that. What do we feel about IoT? I know this is pretty nebulous, but it's important, and it's starting to become a bigger bugaboo. I'm curious what your all thoughts are on this.
think education in this realm is huge, and we get hospital presidents that renew equipment or get an update on a piece of equipment that's never had any kind of connectivity, and they don't even think about the security aspects of that. They renew the contract, the vendor says it's fine, you know, and then it gets kind of dumped on IT. And I just use that as an example of the evolving nature of it and how it's sneaking up on people, and the security and privacy aspect of this is mind-boggling.
I would agree. Brett, do you feel that from as a physician, that there's also a sense of liability for you, and that you have to also tread carefully in how you assess and look at that data if it's clinically viable? Do you feel that that's an issue, or is that something that's sort of aberrant?
Oh, no, that's very much an issue. That's a great point, Aaron. You know, whether it's Fitbit data or anything that comes in, a note from another provider, one of the first things that my colleagues ask is, what's my liability with this information? Because, you know, we pat ourselves on the back that we're exchanging all this information, but I don't think it's well-defined from a legal perspective. What is my perspective? If there's something buried in a 50-page report and something, you know, the patient has a bad outcome, I didn't order it, but I somehow got that report. Am I liable?
Mm-hmm.
And then, gosh, to throw Fitbit data and all that out there, I'm hopeful that, you know, from a practical perspective, we can input that data, you know, to a data warehouse and then bring something to a provider that's relevant. But I still think that's a huge issue right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting those same kind of questions from my clinical chairs and others, and I'm trying to figure out and just find resources to identify to say this is how other places have done it, and it doesn't seem to be anything readily available to say, hey, this is how XYZ organization handled this. It just seems kind of like, well, you know, wing it, and good luck. So.
Right. No, I think you're right, and I think that's why it's got characterized as the Wild Wild West right now.
Yep.
And I think there's also an issue of helping to educate on the patient side in the sense of getting people to start thinking about what's really useful to try to upload to my provider and what is it that I use for my own interest in personal self-management versus what they can use to help provide better care that leads to better outcomes. Because I think that for a lot of people, when you say, hey, you know, it's great that you have this Fitbit data, but let's think about what do you expect your doctor will actually do with all of that? Is it better to be thinking about submitting some kind of summary of some of that? You know, some tools will give you some reporting capabilities. Is it more relevant that when you look at your data, you see that there was a certain period when you were not active because of some issue with medication or some other health-related issue where it's not the specific data point of how many minutes you ran on such and such a day. It's the fact that you couldn't run for 2 weeks or four because of something happening health-wise that maybe your doctor can work with you to address. I absolutely understand the liability question. You know, it's certainly something that I've heard from people for years and years. If we can get a cleaner, more useful data stream from patients to their providers and organizations, perhaps we can mitigate some of that concern as well as also reduce the bulk of it, so it's easier for healthcare organizations to manage and do something with.
Great point. Okay.
Do we need to be concerned with the veracity of the data with IoT? Is that something that the FDA would really have governance over? I have some concern as new devices come out. You know, you've got obviously the popular and hopefully well-vetted, you know, Apple products, but, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Is that part of our purview here, or what's the group's thoughts?
Brett, that's actually an excellent point. And recently, FDA put out an open source platform for developers and researchers to collect patient-reported data. I think it was under the PCORI initiative, but it's called My Studies, and it's focused on open source mHealth apps. I'm not sure what they've done with the privacy and security. I don't know how much work they've done around that, but it is something that FDA is looking at.
No, thank you.
That's a good point. So maybe that, to speak further to it, is, you know, not just the veracity of data, but what is the level of oversight when it comes to all the different jurisdictions between FDA, ONC, OCR, you know, FTC, all these different groups when it comes to IoT, right? That's a really deep and decent topic to think about. Okay. Are there any other comments related to sort of the suggestions there? Do we feel like all of these are pertinent to go to HITACH? Do we feel like one or two really bubble up and say this is what we really want to? Because I mean, again, we gotta recommend these to HITACH, right? And HITACH has to select, you know, the ultimate one. But are there a handful of these that really speak to us?
So this is specifically around privacy and security, and I know we've had conversations on each of our topics kind of universally and then in isolation, and now I'm forgetting where the overlap is. Because when I look at the Internet of Things, I also think of future and current interoperability challenges as well, just thinking about like all the different devices using different standards, and kind of we've got more providers wanting to implement mobile health, but so they do homegrown things, and are we going to create a problem as we move forward and start seeing these more prevalent in the market? I don't know, but it to prioritize, I think it's also important to look at all of the areas that we're looking at outside of just privacy and security. But for this discussion, I still go back to the two that I highlighted earlier.
Good point. Brett, anything?
I don't know. It's also important. I'm not sure I'm feeling like tagging any one particular one.
Okay. From my perspective, I really do think there's an opportunity with IoT. I really do think this is an area that HITACH, since there's really no, that I'm aware of, trail is in blaze just yet, this could be something that really is impactful to the ecosystem and just looking at it in general. And I'm also pretty passionate about the patient education thing. I think the more we can empower our patients and really get them aware of their rights and what they can and can't do and what they can and can't ask for. Because I, too, I'm fed up with the stories I'm reading in the newspapers about organizations that refuse to give the patients their information or charge them an arm and a leg to get it. That's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So to the end that we can help educate them on those rights as well as others, I'm all up for it.
Yeah, there's a definite movement towards monetization of this data. I'm sure, Aaron, you see it all the time with vendors that are coming in trying to say, you know, we'll gather this data and we'll put it all together in a package for you at this cost. Whereas, you know, when you go to ONC annual meeting or our HITACH meetings, you know, that's not the intent. The government's intent is a free exchange of this data, at least at some level.
That's exactly right. Oh, yes. It is not any day that goes by that I don't get a half dozen cold calls of XYZ vendor promising me the world and the moon and the sun in exchange for gathering my data. And it's like, really? Like, I kind of wonder how many people fall for this. So to your point.
Yeah, Aaron, good point. I actually, while I think that first one is a high priority that I mentioned on the looking at how we share data and privacy and security across state borders, I don't know that that necessarily lives under the HITACH, which I mentioned earlier as kind of we take a lead on, but I do see the Internet of Things as an area that we could offer guidance because it's for the reasons that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carolyn?
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Okay. So what we could do is for the items that, you know, these few items that we push forward to high tech, the other ones that are important but not ones we feel like we should tackle this time, we can always put them as footnotes just so that folks reading the report, the annual report, can know that we considered them. But we thought that the most meat on the bone for high tech is, you know, obviously like IoT or whatever, right? And so to the degree of it that people realize that we recognize that there's discrepancy across state lines with privacy security rule, but for us, we think the meat on the bone is for high tech to really be able to help the healthcare industries like IoT or patient education or whatever that be it. So I just want to, you know, highlight the folks that we should still note it. We just won't pursue it. Does that make sense?
I think
yeah, that's
so.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Related to activities for high tech to work on. I agree with that.
Awesome. Great. Okay. Let's move forward then in the presentation. All right. So planning for the update at the high tech meeting in December. Carolyn, do you want to speak to this one since you're over the big high tech?
Yes. We need to think through what it is we want to present. What we should, well, I mean, we present what we've been working on, again, following, you know, noting that we've done the landscape analysis and the gap analysis. We've been talking a bit about what we want to suggest to high tech. I think we can kind of determine what of that, if we want to suggest activities in December or if we want to make that part of the report that we take them in January. I guess the advantage of including that now is that people have more time to think about it. On the other hand, if we wait till January, we can present the work and the suggestions as a whole with the context in place. Perhaps that may be more helpful for some folks. I think definitely we want to talk about the high points related to the presentations we had last month. So our fellow high tech members kind of see the landscape, you know, as well as being something that we present in the draft of the annual report. What are you all thinking in terms of how we time the suggested activities?
You know, Carolyn, this is Aaron. You know, I think the last high tech where we gave a general update, I think folks were really digesting. They didn't really have too much feedback, so I think it was a lot for them to absorb very quickly. So I'm thinking based upon that reaction, the more we can share with them ahead of time without it being final, noting that it's a draft, and it's definitely a draft and subject to a lot of change, could be very beneficial as we get closer to the final report because folks will have a chance to really think about, you know, call it 60% or 70% of the material and really give us some meaningful feedback.
A good point. Other thoughts from Christina or Brett?
Yeah, I was just gathering my thoughts. I think it's important to share, but maybe like some of these things like we just discussed today as an example, highlighting kind of the things that were discussed for privacy and security in an educational way for the high tech, and then pulling out what we decided to go with a small rationale, and then coming up with maybe a couple questions on areas that were a little unsure just to promote dialogue so we can kind of have the group thinking about things beforehand where we see gaps or areas in the report that we just want a little more feedback. I think that could be beneficial. Do we have a working like draft or outline of everything we have to date, even if it's very rough?
I believe so. Carolyn, do you know? I thought I saw something like that.
I would defer to Michelle Marie, and she's been working on some of those aspects of it. Michelle?
Yes. So an outline exists and needs to be updated, and it was shared a while ago with the two co-chairs to help guide our planning. But that's something we could probably circulate further once I update it with the rest of the work group. And then within ONC, working with the contractor, we're starting to pull together an actual draft report, which needs to go through a bit of review before we can pass it on to the work group. But that is underway. And that would go to the co-chairs first, and then they decide to pass it on to the full work group.
Kirby. Okay, so I guess the answer, Christina, is yes and more to come.
Sounds good.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, this is Brett. I would echo a little bit of Christina said and just throw out some of the questions to the full high tech that we've been wrestling with each of these, particularly in areas that we didn't have an answer or a direction. I know it can get a little bit unwieldy with so many people, but I would agree that would kind of help stimulate the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. I do. And I think we will have adequate time at that meeting on the 13th to have a quite good discussion, fairly in-depth, you know, if people are interested in going that way. I'm trying to think of anything else that is relevant to what we might present on the 13th. Is there another slide on this topic in the deck, or is this what we've got? No.
Can we go back to our deliverables that we still have? I was pulling them up on my desktop. Let me see. If we have time, we might want to think ahead of getting feedback from the larger group prior to discussions on specific topics that we have upcoming.
Do you have a sense of how we might do that, or kind of a vision for how we approach that?
I don't know, can we go back to which slide had the overview of upcoming deliverables for us?
I think that would have been the first schedule slide. That would be something like number 2 or 3. Can we go back? That's the full committee, so it would be the one before that, I think. Or no?
Oh, it looks like we've kind of gotten through most of our areas. So, never mind.
Yeah. As we have next on the 9th, the 13th, we have an update to the full high tech that covers all of what's on the slide through today. And then the draft will go in January, I believe on the 23rd, although the date will be on the next slide. Yeah, the January 23rd. That's an in-person meeting. So we should have plenty of time there to have good discussion and get some really very specific feedback about the draft and about whatever people are interested in, brought out more. Also, there will be a time for us to be really thinking about how to move quickly to make any of those changes that are requested at the January meeting.
Yep. I agree, Caroline.
Do you have any other thoughts, Lauren, or in terms of our meeting schedule or planning for any of that prep we need to do?
No, I think that sounds good. I do know that a couple of members have expressed interest in kind of ready to dive in and start reviewing the report. So I know we necessarily won't have, you know, probably won't have anything in like a ready enough draft form to share for next week, but I do think we should just anticipate at least a good number of the committee members kind of wanting to dive in with this report.
Yeah, I would expect that. I think there's definitely interest in it. and we need to try to get that out, you know, more than the 2 or 3 days before that we do what we've had on some of the other documents, so people have a chance to see it and really start thinking through it.
Yeah, the other point I'd maybe encourage us to think about too is just in anticipation of a number of other things that the committee will be asked to review around the same time, to the extent that we can just really focus on perhaps the most critical areas or, you know, something just to help streamline the review process, because I imagine there are going to be competing priorities in terms of things we're asking the committee to review.
Yeah, I think that probably the top priority that we should encourage people to review is the suggested activities for 2019 and going forward. You know, the other things like the landscape analysis, the gap analysis, I think folks are generally broadly familiar with a lot of that information. And if they have any concerns, it's probably going to fall in the realm of edits, you know, editorial changes, rather than wanting to debate the inclusion or exclusion of large sections. And they could certainly provide feedback on the specific line revisions, you know, even a week after the full HITECH meeting itself, if they wanted to.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Well, I know it's a few minutes early, but if there's nothing else, we could go to public comment and then, you know, circle back for any last minute outstanding items.
Sure, that sounds fine.
Perfect.
Great. And let me just double check. Chesley did not have a chance to join, did he? I don't think I saw him on here. Okay. Operator, can you please open the line for public comment?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please. There are no public comments at this time.
Okay. So with that, since we don't have any comments, Carolyn and Aaron, I'll turn it back to you if there's anything else that we should address. Otherwise, we can give folks, you know, a few minutes back to their day.
Thanks, Lauren. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that would impact what we present next week. I feel like we've had a good discussion about the proposed activities and a good overview of the information we got from our expert panel last month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling pretty good with where we're at. Aaron, do you have any considerations or thoughts?
No, I feel good too. I guess the only question mark I have is any timing of any other rulemaking or other things that are floating out there that could come out in the next several weeks that may raise additional topics to further investigate for HITECH. But those are unknowns, and until we can see that and understand that, I think that'll kind of always be sitting out there. But given the body of knowledge that we know now, this feels pretty good. You know, TBD, who knows what else is out there.
Well, I think what we can do is pretty much just keep monitoring the situation. ONC is quite good about sending out announcements when big ticket items get published. And I think we just have to watch and be ready to spring into action if we see something new come out.
Absolutely agree.
Hasn't reared its head for us yet.
Right. All you can control what you can control, right? So
what we can control is our foot on the gas pedal to adjust.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if other members have no other questions or concerns, then I think we're probably ready to adjourn. Lauren, is there anything else from anyone?
Nope, sounds good. Just a reminder, we did confirm our next work group meeting will be on January 10th. And with that, I think we can adjourn.
Great. Thank you so much.
Everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.